Welcome to another episode of the Revengerous Podcast of Stuff. This is founding member Breshvik Penicillin. With me are Dr. Tasty,
founding member,
the Southside Santa.
Up.
And with us this week is El Cocho, that upstanding paragon. Welcome to the show.
Hola, bitches.
This week we're going to talk about killing machines and all of their nefarious forms. First of all, any news? Did you defeat any killing machines recently?
There are a lot of drones out there killing people, so I've heard.
Yeah. Have you seen any or taken any down?
I took one on a date.
Really? That's kind of sexy.
Not really. Oh. They made me pay for everything, and we're not very talkative.
Fucking drones.
The entire time, were they taking pictures of you, or, just asking you to talk closer into the microphone?
Look, a gentleman doesn't tell, okay? A gentleman doesn't kiss and tell.
And no one tells about the drones. They're very secretive. So, the president, doesn't want anyone to know that the drone program even exists. His press secretary, Robert Gibbs, was told that he wasn't allowed to answer any questions about the drones existing to reporters. They all know damn well.
They asked
questions.
I like to imagine that the press conference went a little bit like this. So the media came up to him and said, "So do you have any news about new technological developments on the war front?" And he says, "Look, buddy, I'm not allowed to answer any questions about automated drones, so don't bother asking." And then he posted it on Facebook.
Yeah. hey, Mr. Gibbs, that's a nice tie. Stop asking me about the robot Death from the Sky that the president can use to kill any citizens that he wants for no reason. Stop it! Apparently, the government says the drone strikes are legal because the government says that drone strikes are legal. So that's their reasoning.
Sweet.
Don't worry about it.
This is exactly where our founding fathers wanted us to go.
I think so. I think if they had had drone strikes, who's to say they wouldn't have used them?
I know Benjamin Franklin would have.
That's right. He
put up a lot of kites, I think, just to block him out.
Actually, a kite sort of is a killing machine against lightning bolt.
I think you have that backwards.
Right. Yeah. Lightning bolts kill kites.
How about some news, aside from the depressing politics of the day? A new study has found that cats are one of the top threats to U.S. wildlife, killing billions and billions of animals each year, between 1.4 and 3.7 billion birds, and 6.9 and 20 million small mammals a year.
It's the number one killer of rabbits. That's a fact.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I mean,
I'll tell you what cats are killing: single women's dating lives.
Oh,
hey-o. That is a statement. Like, you're out at a bar hanging out, and then you're like, "Oh yeah, hey, lady, what's up?" And then she's like, "You want to take a picture of my cat?" No, that means that you do not like anal.
The authors of the study concluded that more animals are being killed by cats than road accidents, collisions with buildings, or poisonings.
However, collisions with buildings, they're sort of asking for it.
Yeah, I mean,
if they're just like, la 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 la, boom! Sorry. Ran into a building and now I'm dead. Darwin was sort of,
you know. All I can see is a cheetah running full speed and then splattering against the wall.
Yeah.
Stupid but cheetahs. You know what? The more cheetahs that kamikaze themselves against walls, then that's better for the economy because we have to then hire more janitors to clean up the dead cheetahs.
It creates jobs.
So
qualifications for the job. Must be comfortable cleaning up cheetah remains.
I know I am.
I'm going to go out there and say that I'm not. I'm really not that into picking up dead large cat. I mean, I've done it.
I mean, who hasn't?
I don't like it.
One more animal I think people should be aware of. Because that was all over the news. People were talking about the cat thing. But one animal that is a killing machine that people don't know about is the great tit.
The great tit?
Tits are great, but...
Tits are great.
The great tit. I mean, single tits, one at a time, not great.
One Una boob?
I mean, if one great tit is deadly, imagine a pair of them.
Well, true. It is the great tit, not the great tits.
Well, any great tit is a killing machine. There are these little birds that apparently, while they normally eat insects and other bird things, they also have a taste for blood.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of blood?
Any kind of blood. They will bash in the heads of other small birds, including other tits, and they will drink the blood from their opened up necks.
Tits bashing into each other in the sky.
Yeah. And apparently, they are responsible for killing a lot of bats. And they drink the blood of bats. Which, I've got to say, that's pretty poetic justice.
Fair enough.
If my battles with a vampire have told me anything, it's that anybody that wants to rip your head open and drink your blood is not nice.
No.
I wouldn't know because I don't have blood, but... There you go.
The great tit is also called the zombie tit, just exactly because it finds hibernating bats, bashes in their skulls, and eats their brains.
However, he only does that on April 1st.
I'm a normal bird, 364 days out of the year, but that one day...
on April Fool's, fuck you, bat!
Fucking killing machine.
Hey, bat, crush, April Fools, haha.
So you guys will enjoy this. You know how people used to be hung, right?
Every day.
I'm familiar.
So, like, maybe they would find pirates or cattle rustlers or something, and they would hang them in the public square. Apparently these great tits would come and just pick at the bits of flesh and eyeballs of the people that were hanging there.
So, which came first? The name of the bird? Or the wonderful chesticles that we all love and enjoy?
That's a good question. Because these aren't very big birds, so...
Maybe they have...
I don't know.
From the bird.
What the connection is at all.
Yeah, like, there's somebody that's playing with some chick's boobs out there, and is like, this reminds me of a blood-sucking bird. I'm going to call these tits.
Well,
and then it just calls
the reason they're called tits is because the udders on animals are called teats. And, well, entomology will have you will tell you that people are terrible at speaking. So, tit. I'm probably wrong.
Did you say entomology, like the study of bugs?
Or what's the study of what's the evolution of birds? I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
I thought it was entomology.
I always thought that the connection was that these particular birds, the tits, are deadly, and so are breasts. I mean, think of how many men die every year smothered to death in giant breasts. At least 5.
I wouldn't mind going out that way. I wouldn't be bad at all.
Yeah, you say that now. Oh, yeah, I'll go probably regret it when I'm dead, but now I'm dying.
Have you ever suffocated slowly? Surrounded by mounds of flesh? I mean, it seems like a good idea at first.
A bird pecking out my brain for my blood. Or a pair of chesticles. Yes! Chesticles over the elusive tit.
Does it make a difference if she's laughing maniacally when she does it?
That kind of make it a little bit hotter.
One more killing machine from the news here, and that's George A. Sprave. You're going
to
love
this. Which is a very name to say. Good, say it again.
George A. Sprave has a YouTube channel called The Slingshot Channel. And here's the idea. He's a craftsman. He takes big pieces of wood and builds slingshots.
Hello and welcome to The Slingshot Channel.
And this particular slingshot fires working chainsaws.
Working chainsaws.
The strongest slingshot, handheld slingshot that I've ever made.
He can fire a chainsaw at you with a gigantic slingshot.
Now, do you know how far he can get one of those suckers?
They look pretty far, yards. There's a video.
Chainsaw ammunition.
First of all, the slingshot is taller than he is, so you kind of hold it like a bazooka.
Okay.
But he gets it all the way across his yard, and maybe 50 feet or more.
Is it running?
Yeah, the chainsaw's running.
So it works.
And he's not aiming at a target, he's just chucking these suckers, right?
No, he hits a target.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does it stick in, or does it just sort of flop around?
It's kind of both. It sticks in for a second, but because it's running, it kind of comes out. He also attaches the chainsaw to like a javelin of sorts, so it's on a big rod. So imagine
rod.
This guy is slingshotting a spear at you, but instead of just a tip, it's a working fucking chainsaw. So watch out for George Sprave.
Well, that sounds a lot like what the Space Knight uses. His weapons are a bit ridiculous. He has a chainsaw sword, or a chainsawed. I can't remember what he calls it.
Luckily, a lot of his stuff was scattered across the stars.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah. So now he's got to go.
Well, there's a great prophecy that when the Space Knight retrieves all of the Space Knight equipment, he'll have it all.
Is Space Knight German by any chance?
What?
Is he German?
No. He's not from Earth.
Oh.
He's from space. Okay. Well, in the name.
I mean, so were those moon Nazis.
Well, yeah. Those are Nazis that go to the moon. Space Knight is a knight in space.
Right. Yeah. You're right. No, the reason I ask is that Mr. Sprave is German, and I think that makes all of this 100 times more terrifying. On a side note, do you ever think the Germans are going to live down the Nazi thing? Like, people who are alive today in Germany have no...
I think they're going to have more trouble living down their weird sexual fetishes instead of the Nazi thing. Because, man...
Well, you say that like it's a bad thing.
Well,
I think the difference between, like, them just, you know, going about their lives and they're just like, oh man, I sure wish I could get over this gerbil in my ass thing. Or, you know, them going out to like some other country at a bar. I mean, it's not like, hey, let me check your asshole. They're more like, hey, how about that whole picking on the Jews thing?
Why do we always have to bring up the Jews thing? Why can't we talk about the gerbil in my ass? I put the gerbil in my ass to make reparations for my great-grandfather.
You know, sometimes I think that a man asking you to take your shoes off and your socks off and crush a box with their name on it while they whack off to it is much, much more strange than just a plain old vanilla genocidal dictator.
That's a good point. I mean, I don't know if he was doing that for some kinky reason, but probably.
The only way that I can truly achieve orgasm is when there's a bunch of people all dying cursing my name for a hit or miss.
Let's move on to El Cocho. One of the reasons we wanted to have you on is because you are not only a luchador, but and a ninja, the worst ninja ever, but still a ninja.
Ex-ninja,
tell us how your own body can be a killing machine.
Well, it's very easy. I mean, with your bare hands alone, you can easily rip someone apart. Choking them to death, breaking arms, gouging out eyes, giving them a fish hook. You can kill someone easily like that.
Flicking a cigar into their face.
That too. That can easily work. Oh, it's not really the face you really got to aim for. You have to aim for their mouth. Catch them in mid-sentence and just get it right in there and choke on it.
There was a guy who killed a bear by putting his arm down his throat.
What? Did he lose his arm?
No.
Wow.
The bear couldn't shut his mouth.
That's amazing.
I watched that and then he
ripped the bear's throat open.
Wow, that is... Word to the wise, if you're ever being attacked by a bear, just start to go inside its mouth. Seems counterintuitive.
No, you gotta shove your fist way down it. Like,
the only thing that would have made this more badass is if he had grabbed the bear's stomach and pulled it inside out, back through the bear's mouth.
He just wasn't trying hard enough.
Yeah.
It's true.
Anytime that you end up taking a chick home, and she takes her pants off, and she says something about forgetting to go to the dentist when you're looking at her crotch, that's when you're like, man, I wish I was fucking a bear in the mouth.
I think that every time.
Fisting.
El Cocho, you left out a very important... There's a guy on the internet... This is a video from the 80s or something, but it's on YouTube.
When you headbutt somebody, they don't survive that. You can punch somebody in the face, that's going to piss them off. You headbutt somebody...
This guy has a shirt with the shoulders cut off, and it says headbutt, and he's teaching you how to headbutt. And how that's the most deadly way to kill someone.
You're going to headbutt the bag 2 hours a day to get better at it? You get into a fight, you're in slippery ground... You just grab
he busts a cantaloupe and some other melons with his head.
Well, I wouldn't say that's the most effective use of your body to killing someone because your head is not really meant to take those kind of blows. Now, it could be surprising. You won't expect it, but it's not that effective. Maybe he trained. Maybe this guy's trained for a long time. I don't know.
He's got a particularly thick head.
That too.
Whether we're sick, tired, hungover, I don't care.
I just got a lot of skill. I just say punching someone repeatedly in the throat would just be effective enough.
Yeah.
But not that. But throwing your forehead into their throats or anywhere else in their body is not going to work so well. I'm not going to put my head into your stomach and like, I'm going to kill you with that. No, that's ridiculous.
What if you combined two really dirty fighting moves, the headbutt and the crotch kick? And you headbutt somebody in the crotch.
That'd be kind of tricky because if you have to headbutt them first, to throw them back, kick them in the crotch to level them up a little bit more, and then really throw your head down in order to hit that crotch in midair in order to send them back down to the ground.
Wow.
So, a little bit hard.
It's actually a secret move you can do in Mortal Kombat. I don't know if you knew that.
With Johnny Cage?
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
right.
He does a split and punches them in the nuts.
Right.
You know, this all seems a bit unnecessary when you could just focus and gather your ki and then release it in a large wave of energy, obliterating your foe completely from existence.
But
or you could charge your buster.
What if they block?
Well,
ooh.
I mean. Well, then all you can really do is just say, did I get him? And then wait for the smoke to clear.
Yeah, and while you're waiting, you get headbutted in the crotch. That's what we learned.
The headbutt is a surprise attack. Yes, that could work.
As long as they yell the phrase surprise while doing it.
I'd be surprised.
So I'm a bit confused about this whole ninja thing. What? I mean... I've seen plenty of ninja documentaries, and it seems like their powers are really inconsistent. Like, they're really fast in the shadows, and they can, like, make images of themselves, and they can throw, like, a million throwing stars. But then, at the same time, when they're out there, they're just kind of getting punched in the face by guys with mullets or Uzis.
Well... A lot of the ninja skills really haven't advanced since ancient medieval Japan. Like back then, these were simple magic tricks that could really confuse the simple person at the time. Nowadays, it's like, okay, you're throwing a rock over there. I know that's not you jumping over there. Yeah, it is. No, it's not. And therefore, they get their butts whooped.
I gotta say, I think there's a lot of really stupid people today that would fall for that shit.
That is true. However, in the world of ninja, you really have to end up... The map on numbers is always backwards. No, if there's just one guy, that means he's a badass.
Oh, you mean the inverse law of the ninja?
Yes. Yeah, if there's 12, you can go through them pretty easy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's 12 guys, there's just me, watch out, I'll kick the living shit out of you. And, you know, not have a problem with it. But then, later, after I just got done beating up those 12 guys, then there's just gonna be, like, one guy that shows up, then it's a hardcore battle. Because it's just one guy against another guy.
This also ties into the first news story, in that cats are ninjas. One other thing before we get into the actual machines, and this is sort of a public service announcement for the kids out there, STDs, wrap your junk, because viruses are trying to get at you. You get the AIDS, wrap your shit up, and one fellow superhero... We're going to try and put him on the Revengerous Wiki pretty soon. Maybe we're going to have to talk about... Is Condom Man? He's from Australia. And in the 1980s, the government of Australia started a sex education campaign, and they put out Condom Man. His lady sidekick, Lubalicious. And he says, don't be shame, be game. That's... Condom Man for you.
His power is to not get STDs.
That's right. He teaches kids how not to get STDs.
Not just STDs, but also he gets to, you know, avoid people calling him daddy. Like, you know, guess what? I just saved a bunch of money. I don't have kids. Awesome.
When that stork comes into that baby, you're like, don't worry, there's Condom Man there to take out that stork.
Yep.
I'll have to punch a stork in the face.
Choke that motherfucker.
You know, that's the reason back. Why the stork is an endangered species.
Because of Condom Man?
Because Condom Man keeps fucking killing all of them.
Well, I have to say, as much as I have a problem with the art of the comics, which is horrible, Condom Man himself, there's not two M's, there's no hyphen. So... He just looks like he's a guy who would get you a really good deal on a condo. Condo Man. But I do like his sidekick, Lubalicious. His villains, the names of his villains are really lame. They're just HIV, gonorrhea, chlamydia.
There's right. No, like,
they're just saying the names of the STDs.
You really need more, you know.
Like the unstoppable AIDS.
Yeah, or the great chlamydia.
Silly syphilis.
Silly syphilis, there you go. He's sort of the Mitzelplick of...
He's like STDs. Howard the Duck of STDs.
So kids, double wrap your shit. I'm really happy that in Australia, they're all about destigmatizing the sex and giving them this education. Because, you know, teenagers are going to have sex, so you might as well... do that, as opposed to in America, where we're just like, no, kids don't have sex. You just won't. You wait until you're married, and until God approves of it, you're just not going
to
do it.
This is why that, the Catholic...
America's approach to everything is inverse and retarded.
Not that Australia doesn't have problems.
Our strategy is to just pretend that these things don't exist. Or at least the causes don't exist.
However, being from Australia means that you have to end up using the phrase penal colony a little bit too much.
That's like when people stay at a sausage party for too long?
Yeah, penal colony. Either that or, you know, they're at the sausage party and then, you know, then they end up going next door out to a bar and I was like, yeah, that's not cool.
they've colonized the bar next door with all the sausage.
Sausage place next to a bar here. That's pretty good. So, question that you brought up, Santa, as we talk about the machines themselves who kill. Why don't they have those robot fighting shows on anymore?
I think they have one coming up, actually. What was that movie? It was
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, he was like that ex-robot fighter. Yeah, they're actually making that a TV show. I swear to God, I saw
it. Well, is it like live action?
Well, I only saw a commercial, and what I saw was two giant robots, one with like a spiky metallic mohawk. And I thought people were like actually building these robots for a second, because that would be really sweet. But what I think it is just some companies just producing some sort of simple electronic, and you actually get into a suit. You can control the robot in the fight.
I watched a documentary on exoskeletons a few days ago. It was on Netflix. It was kind of scary. And they're they have this machine that enables like a regular person to be able to carry heavy loads like great distances. It's called the Hulk. And they're like, oh yeah, it's gonna be great. We can end up giving these to the infantry, and then they can carry all this stuff really far, and then it's gonna be able to, you know, they're gonna be way better supplied and this and that. But like each of those leg carrier things are like wicked expensive, and they don't even afford like body armor, which is just a hunk of steel to somebody that's in the army now. So it's like, yeah, you're not actually gonna end up using these.
Well, I think it'll get to the point where we just have robots doing all of that, so you can take the people out of the equation. And
we already got these drones going, so why not?
Exactly, drones. Yeah. So this is like a natural progression from that, is to actually give people these giant mech suits, which I know in Japan they've already developed. I mean, they're hundreds of thousands of dollars, but you can buy one if you're rich and tool downtown in the suit.
It'd be kind of awkward going into bars.
Yeah.
Like all mechs outside.
Yeah, we don't serve your kind here.
Racist.
Clearly, yeah.
Yeah.
Will this lead us to the robot war for the future?
Or what's the, drinking and driving on a mech suit?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
mech under the influence?
Well, yeah, because if you end up driving a semi-truck versus a regular car, the, blood alcohol tolerance is way smaller. Like, it's like, oh, guess what? You drank a beer yesterday? Well, then you're not allowed to be driving the semi.
Yeah, truck drivers don't ever drink.
Because it's like, oh, you don't want to slam into somebody because you're whatever. So, what's the blood alcohol content of these mech suits with, like, rocket launchers and shit on them?
Once again, for people who smoke weed every day, that would be the perfect thing, though, because you'd jet around and you wouldn't have any kind of evil thoughts. You'd be very peaceful, and you're not going to shoot missiles at people but still enjoy your mech.
Yeah, whereas if you're drunk, you get angry way easier.
God damn asshole stole my girlfriend. I'm going to blow up his house.
Or the bar that I'm drinking in right now.
Yeah, well, with me in it.
Like, if you're a bouncer and you see somebody walking in with a mech suit, you're like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
The bouncers get their own mech suits.
That's right.
Yeah. Or all bouncers are required to carry EMP grenades.
El Cocho, yeah. You have been a bouncer before, and you have had to stomp people's heads. Even though you're a really upstanding guy, the paradox is that you really enjoy stomping people's heads when you have to.
It's a guilty pleasure. It's a guilty pleasure. It truly is. I think myself as a very nice person, but when there's a job to do, I like to get it done.
Now imagine if you had a giant mech suit.
Ooh, with great power comes great responsibility.
Or more smattered skulls on the sidewalk.
Yeah,
that's
actually
what great power comes with.
And then you get the same janitors that are cleaning up all these cheetahs. You're giving them more of a job.
Cleaning up other people. Isn't that really for the coroner's office?
Ugh. I mean, if you have a bunch of smattered cheetah and also people, it sort of blends up together. You're just going to end up cleaning up the whole mess.
But do we have to worry about not so much the mech suits, but once we have these giant robots with their own AI, their own intelligence, that's what I'm worried about.
I think all of the warfare will eventually be handled by the robots, but it'll be done in such a way where we don't even know that we've gone to war, and there will be all these robot wars going on, and we're just kind of like sitting around playing Super Nintendo, and then it's like some dude comes in and he's like, "Hey, you, your country lost the war. You got to move." And you're like, "What?"
And you're like, "This is my this is my couch now."
So basically be the life forms that give birth to Transformers, and they'll start their own war.
Yeah.
Well, war is for us.
At first, what happens when the robots just want to supplant you from your couch, and then they want to blow up your couch with you on it?
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have me and my couch blow up together than me getting taken away from my couch, me knowing it's out there somewhere, gallivanting around with some metallic butt on it.
You know what? I actually don't care, because I can't be blown up, so that's not my problem, that everybody else can get blown up. Maybe you should just not get a power where you can't get blown up.
Listen, I have been to a lot of various alternate timelines, and there are a lot of them where the robots have taken over, or are going to take over, or already have. Often because there were all these shows where their ancestors, we made battle for our amusement, and they basically found it kind of offensive, and we had to make reparations. And the way that robots want reparations is Skynet and nuclear holocaust and using us as batteries. And
also, we're, you know, setting out the entire, like, all the, like, plot holes on, like, ways that humanity can end up dying.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're setting up all these screen writers that are like, "Oh, I want to make this movie about, you know, humanity dying and being oppressed by all these robots and talk about all the easy ways for us to die."
Yeah, it's just giving the robots ideas.
Yeah, we should just, you know, stop allowing people that are like, "Hey, I want to make this movie." You just end up, you know, going home and killing their children.
Get rid of every copy of T2 and just put out a lot more of these, I don't know, what's a good robot? Johnny Five.
There's a great one.
Short Circuit.
Short Circuit 2.
Yeah.
He rides around on him and he's all angry and he has the mohawk and stuff and he just fights crime. But then we reward him at the end by gold plating him.
There's an alternate future where Dr. Tasty had to stop the robot war for the future.
And I probably didn't.
There's a one where Commodore Bob and myself had to stop the robot war for the future. Of course, that resulted in a lot of other problems. But there's an alternate future where future Trunks stopped the androids.
That's Tunks.
Tunks, sorry.
He already came here.
Future Tunks.
He was already here.
Yeah, he stopped the robot war.
Well, we stopped the robot war for the future. He just kind of came and warned us.
Took the credit. He's an asshole. We have Cybear. He's an enemy of all machines. We have Harbjar, who's... Is he an expert on killing machines?
I don't know. I think he is. No, he's not.
I don't know.
I think he programmed the compound AI.
Our compound is... kind of.
Is that why I can't reset the clock from beeping 12 at me each time I use the microwave? That's
probably why. Also, one time, because usually our compound tells us when things are secure, says Revengerous Compound, secure. One time it said Revengerous Compound, secure, and we didn't know. I think
there are only a couple of sound bites for the AI to use, so that might have been like the only other one.
Yeah. I think largely we've dodged the bullet of Skynet. It was supposed to happen in 1997.
Well, isn't according to the Terminator movies. It just keeps getting postponed instead of...
That's a cop-out.
Not...
That's bullshit.
...happening.
You either prevented it or you didn't.
I don't know. The way our timelines work is kind of weird.
That's true. There's an infinite number of timelines where an infinite number of possibilities are spawned by an infinite number of other timelines, etc., etc.
Because it seems to me like when you go back to the past, you're actually going to a completely different timeline than you live in. So when you go back to the future, you're going back to your own timeline where everything is the same.
Yeah, well, we'll have to do a show about time travel at some point in the future. Because that's a regular occurrence for us, is time travel.
Well, we constantly talk about maybe doing a show in the future because we haven't gotten around to it yet.
Well, on that note, actually, before we end, are there any notes for the wiki check out on the internet?
Well, if you want to understand, like, wrap your head around who actually programmed the Revengerous Compound AI, see if Harbjar did it, because it might be on his page. I don't know.
That's one of the most inscrutable pages on the wiki, so...
Right.
I don't know.
I would like to give another endorsement of a product that I have not used yet. It's made by the company Rite Aid. It's a renewal aloe body lotion, specifically the hydrating kind. It smells of cucumber. It's got aloe vera in it, various other types of vitamins, and it's a wonderful thing. I've not tried it, but you should.
El Cocho, thank you for being with us here this week, and
thank you for having me.
We will definitely have you back on again, as well as other Revengerists from the various factions, East and West. And thank you all for listening. This is Breshvik. Remember, if we can't save you, you're fucked.
You're fucked.
Or the police can.